Doesn't that computer know who you
are? Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is
me. A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same thing.
I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my
onto
friend?
A Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
Good morning. This is Tech Talk. You know, I don't know why. I have had just more problems here with trying to get our aux and music and background stuff rocking and rolling lately. I'm not sure what the issue is. One of these days, I know we'll figure it out. But I do know, even though if we don't have good music on, I've got Dave Sparky Saganaki on.
Yeah, I could always sing for you.
Where's that pot? How do I pot that one down? We may be reduced to that. Well, I don't have my usual equipment here, so that's part. Oh, there we go. Hey, what do you know? All right, now it feels like a show.
That's what you were worried about not having. That's what you were upset about. That's what you were sharing with our listeners.
That's
I can't get this thing to work because I really want this music, and that's the music you were after.
That's a little DJ Tiesto. Tiesto, however you pronounce that guy. Actually, our longtime listener, Money Plan SOS, guest, longtime listener. He's a big Tiesto fan himself. So,
that sounded very interesting. So, very cool, very edgy. You know, puts a nice edge on the program.
Gets you going, gets you moving, get some excitement, some energy flowing. You know, the kind of things that we need happening here. Yeah, no, it's
we desperately need that on Tech Talk. Yeah, we desperately need that.
Especially today, because spoiler alert, there's no Jay Garman to save us. He's off on in the East Coast. I was just getting reports from him about his trip on Delta Airlines and how the Delta that Delta is concerned about is not Jay's Delta, but their own time Delta and money Delta. So so he's experiencing some travel fun. So we will not have Jay today, but we've got a ton of other great stuff going on. News, of course.
Wait, Jay Garman's not on the phone on the show today?
He is not.
We're screwed.
I know. I almost didn't come in. I was.
Sorry to interrupt you. What were you saying?
I was that close to not coming in. No, so we are still going to have a good show today, solid show, because I know that Dave came prepared anyways, even if
yeah,
I didn't.
Right, yeah.
And and we've got our cool sites of the week queued up, and a podcast only song of the week queued up, and a ton of news and interesting things that have been happening in technology this last week. Actually, a lot of stuff has been kind of taken off, different and interesting things happening, including like flexible displays and Comic-Con. Well, I mean, it's just the whole it doesn't end, you know.
Well, okay, flexible displays, we've been hearing about flexible displays for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it's like a decade, right?
Yeah.
That, you know, it's been forever, and I've never actually seen one, I don't think.
Well,
in person.
You know, I've seen I haven't seen one in person. Now here's an interesting thing, and CNET does a write up on this is you know, of course, Samsung now is coming out with their Round, they're calling it, the Galaxy Round.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think that's a good idea. Look, explain to people what it is. It's just a curved display, basically, on a phone.
Yeah. Now, they're calling it, you know, they're calling it a flexible display, but really it's not. I mean, it's stiff. It doesn't bend. It's not like a bendable display. I think a more appropriate term for it is it's contoured. It's a contoured display that conforms to the shape of your face a little better, might fit in your butt pocket a little better too. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how it would work in the front though.
Okay, your butt pocket. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, I think maybe the actual display itself is flexible, but the case is rigid, maybe. And I think the curved case is a good idea because it'll make the case stronger, you know, like the, yeah. you know, arches, you know, and all that sort of thing. And we all know how fragile phones are these days.
Yep. And of course, it's good for Samsung because they can sell you a whole new an OtterBox and those guys and a whole new line of cases because. Because any other case you've ever had ain't going to work anymore. Actually, like I said, I mentioned CNET, and I'm going to shout them out because they do a fantastic job of running down exactly what the differences are between the definitions of flexible, especially as it goes to phones here. And one of the things they talk about is that, one reason why this phone is called flexible, even though it's not, you know, it's more contoured, is that really what has become flexible now is the OLED or LCD display. The glass that covers it and protects that, of course, is not flexible still. So this is not a bendable phone, which is kind of the holy grail, is a bendable, you know, rollable phone is what we want to get to. But it's on the way. You know, it's stepping through. Samsung has always been interested.
Do you really want a sloppy phone, though?
You know, think about the applications, though, and the uses. I mean, for one thing, just the amount of pocket space that it'd save you if you could fold this thing up. But also, too, when you can start integrating it into other things that are flexible, such as your clothing or other things like that. I don't think we even know where this is going to go. I think once we have truly flexible displays and phones, it's going to change a lot of stuff. I really think we can't even imagine yet what the changes are going to be for that.
I was excited about it when I heard about it years ago, and I've been waiting. I can't wait. I've gotten kind of jaded about it. I'd like to see what the applications are actually.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I'm with you. The easy things to think of, like I said, are just rollable stuff where you'd have a basically, like say you were going to show a map. You know, you could take it out just like you would a paper map and just roll it out onto the table, and there you go. Now you've got your tablet, your map, your whatever it may be.
That's very exciting. Can't wait to see it.
Yeah. I'm with you. I know. I expected to be driving my hover car around by this point, and communicating by brain power only, and that just hasn't worked out for me yet. So.
I'm tired of getting teased. I want my tech stuff now. So you were saying Samsung is one of the forerunners, or they've been active in trying to develop this technology?
Well, no. I mean, they have. Yeah, absolutely. What I was going to say, though, was that Samsung is interesting in their approach in that they've got kind of a spaghetti approach to technology. And if you haven't heard that phrase before, what I mean by that is they just throw stuff at the wall to see if it sticks. You know, you look at the Galaxy S4... You look at the S4, and we talked about this with Verizon here, talking about the S4 and what it was about. And I've got one that I own personally. And you look into it, and it's just got oodles and oodles and gobs of stuff. And, you know, maybe 60-70% of it you never are going to use or touch. I mean, this whole hand-waving thing and the eye-tracking business to pause the video when you look away, nobody cares about that. No one's going to use it, you know, but it was a cool idea. They didn't know for sure if people would use it and glom onto it or not, so they threw it in there to find out. I think they're doing the same thing with this contoured phone. I'm not going to call it a flexible phone. With this contoured phone to see if, like, hey, is this an exciting enough new feature that we need to build this out and make this happen on a large scale? So, they want to be the thought leaders in the telecom mobile device industry. And the way that they're doing that is, like I said, by the spaghetti method of technology deployment. So, all right, you know, it's not a bad thing.
I'd take a look at one for sure. Something new, something different.
Yeah.
I tend to carry mine in my shirt pocket, though, and it sounds like that would add depth to the space needed in your pocket.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. And that was the one thing that I heard other people say, too, is that it's going to, even though the actual size, you know, dimension of it is relatively thin, because of the way that it bows, it's going to take out more space no matter what where you put it. Now I've seen a lot, and I've seen a lot of people, especially ladies. I see ladies putting their phones in their back pocket quite frequently, and I never really got that. I've actually tried it myself with some trepidation, because I've been worried that it, you know, I'm going to sit, forget it, that I've got it there, sit. I'm a big guy, you know, I'm going to break this thing. But I don't know. I guess if it was a curved screen, it would work better in your back pocket. I've been meaning to ask some people too, and I haven't felt comfortable enough just going up to some random stranger, attractive young lady that I see sticking things in her back pocket to ask her why. But if any of these attractive young women want to write to us, let us know.
You need a voice recorder. You need to carry a little voice recorder with you and say, "Hey, I'm Michael Kessler from WRR."
speaking of which, what a great segue, Dave. I have got this. It finally came out. This was a cool site app of the week for a while ago. I've talked mm-hmm. about it because it's such an awesome thing. It finally, this last, like literally yesterday, so I haven't had fun with it yet. Literally yesterday, it came out for the Android phones. The Herd app. Now, that's Herd as in I heard you say something, not Herd as in a cow, a bunch of cows kind of thing. What it is, it's a constantly recording microphone application that records 5 minutes of audio at all times. And if something interesting happens, you can go in and pause it and save that last 5 minutes. And then use that and reuse that. I've got it now. I've got it on my phone. I'm excited about it. If you go to the Herd, just look up Herd app on the web, and you'll be able to sign up for a beta. I had signed up for the beta months ago when this first came out. So that's what I need. I can use that and then just go up, and you guys could hear me asking the question, the inevitable slap across the face that occurs, or the "Who are you? Why are you talking to me?" that's going to happen. So,
yeah, does it? Well, convert it to text though, and send it to your Google Glasses. That's the thing.
No, it will not. No, it will not.
No, not yet. Not yet. Anyway.
No.
So this is something you're very excited about. So, and this is going to be great for your battery, right? I mean,
yeah, well, I haven't tried it yet, like I said. So, I've been curious about that. Now, I literally just got my S4. Now, I had one from Verizon, like I said, for quite some time to test out, and that was one of the things that compelled me to get one. Now, I'm with AT&T, but it doesn't make a difference with the thing. I got to say, the battery life of these new phones is pretty darn impressive.
Not mine. not running the program I'm talking to you on. You know, it's a battery hog.
Well, and that I have noticed too. My wife complains about this. I got her, you know, into the whole smartphone world with the navigation apps and things, and she complains now because she'll be driving around. She's got the music going. She's making phone calls.
Oh, yeah.
She's got Waze in the background. She's like, "I've got it plugged in and it's charging in my car, and the charger can't keep up with the battery drain, and so I still drain it down."
GPS is another big battery drain on smartphones, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think Waze, in fact, too, that app specifically is a pretty big drain on the app. It seems to be more so than the Google navigation app. Which I should have asked when we had Google on talking about their navigation app a few weeks ago. Should have asked them if they were doing anything to, you know, enhance that or reduce the amount of battery life usage. Speaking of which, I did want to mention too on air today. You know, we had Google Apps or Google on talking about the navigation apps. They've made some recent updates to the online maps application. So one of the things that had and I think we lost Dave, unfortunately, but hopefully we'll grab him back. So I'm going to mention this anyways. I'll catch Dave up when he comes back on for us. But so one of the things that had disappeared from the Google, here's Dave again. There we go. He's back. I don't know what happened there. I don't know if I did. I may have done that. There's mice all over the place here, and I'm not talking about the kind that we need a cat to help us with. So I probably bumped it. I was just mentioning, so they upgraded Google Maps on the online. The one thing that had been really irritating that had been missing from the new Google Maps was the ability to create multiple destinations on a single navigation event. They've corrected that oversight or added it or whatever you want to say to it. You can do this now. So you can go in and you can set multiple destination points, which is fantastic. You know, it's very, very helpful, I think, especially when you're planning a trip or a vacation or something along those lines.
Yeah, as long as you have the time to do it, you know. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because I got that same silence again. You know, we're kind of obligated to mention something that our superior sent to us in the mail. It's an interesting topic. The ticker watch?
Yes.
Yeah. Go. Well, it turns out, it's also a brand name of another watch as well. But the ticker watch is basically a watch that will help you count down. It won't help you. It's a constant reminder on your wrist of how much time you have left in the world.
Yep. Yeah, now if you're on the internet, you've probably seen these sites where you can go and get like a death ticker. You know, you go in and you answer all these questions. Do you smoke? How often do you work out? Do you do this? Blah, 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 blah. And it gets to the end and it says, well, we estimate you'll live to be, 47. And you're like, oh, man, I got 2 years left. What's going on? This is now integrated into an actual watch you can put on your wrist, and you can always know how much time you've got left on this Vale of Tears. And
that's not the way they're selling it. They're not Vale of Tears is not in any of their marketing material at all.
Sorry, my classical literature is showing. I need to zip up. What and what purpose is it other than that though? Would you see this as, now we're at different stages, slightly, not much, but slightly different stages in life. Would you see this as an incentive to get moving more? Or would you see this as something dreadful hanging over you? How do you see this? Do you see this as a positive or ominous thing?
Well, my first take on it was that who would want to know that?
Yeah,
I mean, it's like I could see myself either becoming very depressed about it, or staying up all night to look at it.
Exactly.
The seconds of my life tick away.
Exactly.
You know. But but it's also there's an old spiritual exercise. It's called keeping death on your right shoulder or your left shoulder. The concept there is that you should never forget your mortality. Because it'll inform your behavior and your attitude, you know. And that's kind of how they're marketing this thing. That it's reminding you to be happy in whatever time you have left.
You know,
I still don't know though. Just one too many cups of coffee
Well, it's interesting you bring that up. There is some history to that, and in fact, there used to be an individual whose role it was to travel with the king, who was dressed, and this is I think in like Greek times, possibly that long ago, who would dress and be made up as death. And this, as you're saying, that's where that phrase comes from, is death over your right shoulder. It was to keep exactly that thought in his mind as to when he's helping or when he's going out and seeing the populace that, you know, death is right around the corner. So you got to do what you're going to do, you know, and all that. So I, there's a long history of, wanting to keep death in mind. You know, I think I do have some questions, though. You know, do they offer a lifetime warranty?
Is it prorated? You know, based on what you can expect.
Exactly.
I made a joke about that. I was shopping for a product, and they said, "Oh, it's got a lifetime warranty." I said, "Well, you know, I'm a little older, so
yeah,
you know, I should get a discount."
Yeah. Well, and what happens if you outlive the watch? Does it go into negatives? Do they go negative numbers? And you're like, dude, it's all gravy. I'm living on borrowed time. Look at negatives. I mean, that would be exciting, you know?
Well, the thing is, this is not even in the market yet.
No.
They're doing like a crowd, what do they call it, crowdfunding?
Yeah.
They're doing some crowdfunding things. How hard can it get to get this thing made?
It shouldn't be much at all. You know, really, it's just a backwards timer. honestly, that's all it is.
Well, no, but you've got to go, like, you have to fill out a questionnaire. That's the other thing. You know,
yeah.
You have to fill out to determine, you know, to get the actuarial progression or forecast for when you're going to kick it.
Yeah, well, that is true. And of course, you know, getting a questionnaire to work properly, as we've seen with healthcare.gov, is not necessarily the easiest thing in the world. So,
No. And you're speaking. So, have you offered your services to help try and straighten that out? We're referring, of course, to the Affordable Care Act, known as Obamacare. People with online registration to get involved in the marketplace to find out what comparable health insurance rates are, and there's been all kinds of crashes and problems with that. So are you doing any consulting on that?
Oh gosh, you know, I'm open to it. If anyone from the government's listening, give me a call. TechTalk@WRLR.FM. Send me a note. I'd be more than happy to weigh in on this. You know, there's actually an interesting article that came out, and I think they nailed it here on Tech Dirt. Tech Dirt talks about how the issue here is that they did the typical government thing. They did not go out and find a qualified large-scale web development, you know, internet level company to deal with this and to help them with the UI, the user interface, and with the back-end infrastructure. No. What they did was a typical government thing. They said, hey, let's look over our list of giant government contractors that we've always used and who have always screwed everything up. and whoever's paid us the most recently or given us the lowest cost deal, we're going to give it to them. And that's what they did. And so this is what you get, you know, when you go with the low cost provider and use your political cronies as opposed to actual legitimate web companies. So,
well, that's too bad. But and it turns out, I just watched a report last night that, you know, their actual signups are very, very small.
Yeah, so far. I went online. I did try to log in and see if I could get a quote for what they would offer to me for health insurance. And I was stymied like many, many, many people were. I got to the point where, and unfortunately, of course, this always happens. You know, you have to go through this rigmarole. You jump up and down and you enter all this information and then you get to the click submit button. So you click the submit button and then the big spinning disc comes out. And you sit and you watch and it's spinning and spinning. You're like, do I go do something else? I only got the one computer here. Should I go? Should I leave it? I don't know what to do. You wait for 5-10 minutes, like literally 5-10 minutes. And then finally it pops up and says, I'm sorry, sir. We're unable to process your request at this time. Please try again later. Ah, thanks. Thanks, SAIC. SAIC is the company that put this together, by the way. And they are also the same company, if you look into the history of them, that Mayor Bloomberg from New York City got angry at and demanded that they return $600 million after a city computer project, which was originally budgeted at about $68 million, actually wound up being around $750 million. They have a long, long list of similarly spectacular failures on these government government projects. So this is the SAIC.
Is Bloomberg, is he Republican or Democrat? I would think he'd be given his business background, be Republican, but some of the things he's done are very Democratic.
I think isn't Bloomberg a Dem? I honestly not really sure.
I'm doing the same thing you're doing, probably.
I'm looking it up. Michael Bloomberg is a Democrat.
Independent.
Now independent. He was a Democrat before seeking elective office. He ran for mayor in 2001 as a Republican, and then he went independent. So, hence our confusion. See, it's reasonable that we were confused about this. Now we don't have to feel like we're just ignorant. It's just difficult.
So did he get his $600 million back?
No, of course not. Absolutely not. And they went on and they collected another $600 million to build a computer system for the FBI.
I remember that debacle.
The FBI, after paying $600 million for this, tried to use it and said, "This is so horrible that we can't even use it," and they threw it in the garbage. You should have been dumpster diving at the FBI back in 2004, 2005. You could have picked up a $600 million computer system for nothing and then looked for another contractor and created a new system. So that work began in 2006. Now this is a different government contractor. I don't know the name of this one. That one didn't even go live until August of 2012. So it took them over 6 years to create this thing that had originally been created in 4 years by somebody that did it terrible. It just goes on and on. So this is the company that has created this. I think that's a great word for it, Dave, is debacle that we've got going on right now with healthcare.gov. I'm hoping that maybe this week I'll be able to log in and actually get through the registration process. I'm very curious about what the quotes will be. So,
yeah, it'd be nice if they got it fixed.
Yeah.
People need insurance.
Absolutely, it's a wonderful thing. I think getting everyone insurance is a good thing. I don't know if this is the best way to go about it. I think there's a lot of discussion we could get into politically about single payer systems maybe being the way that we're heading towards, and that possibly being a good thing or better thing. But it's really tough to say. I think there was something along these lines was bound to happen. If the Republicans had gotten their act together 8 years ago and done something about it, it would have been a different system, and the Democrats would have hated it. So at some point something had to break, and you got to fix. I'd say the same things with the schools. I think the schools are going down the same path. That it's just broken, and ultimately, something's going to break enough that someone's going to step in and say, "Let's fix this," and make everybody mad at us, but with the intent and hope that in a couple of years it'll balance out and we'll get something better for it. Unfortunately, pain is part of the process of change. That's true in life. It's true in our personal world. It's true in politics. Whatever we do, change is painful. But you gotta muscle through it until you get to the good stuff on the other side. Hopefully.
Speaking of painful, what's going on with Apple and their blue screen of death?
Oh, you heard about this too. I don't find this painful at all.
You can't gloat much. You cannot gloat much. Not too much.
Really?
No. Well, you can. Well, you can. But it's over the top. I mean,
yeah.
Well, first of all, it's just one problem, right? It's just with the iPhone 5S, I think.
That's the main one that it's being seen on. Yeah. And from what I understand, so the 5S is having a lot more problems, but the 5C has got issues too, and that's fairly typical. I mean, to be fair, that's pretty typical. Whenever you've got a new operating system, a new piece of equipment, and so on, you're going to see problems like this. Now, the thing that, of course, is ironic and amusing to those of us that are on the Android and especially the Windows side of the world or on that camp is that Apple has, of course, ballyhooed the beloved slash hated blue screen of death on the Windows systems for years and years and years, and now
they actually had a television commercial spot that talked about that made fun of the Windows blue screen of death years ago, I think.
Yes. Yeah, and in fact they also, if you remember way back in the days on your Apple computer, now you could hook into various different networks. So if you weren't working in a larger scale IT environment, you might have never seen this. But if you configured your Apple computer and your Apple server to work in a Windows network, you could use remote desktop protocols and other things like that to access these other servers on your network from your Apple Macintosh device. What was the icon that represented the Windows computers? It's a little monitor, just like you'd normally see, but the image in the monitor was the blue screen of death. And so it was their little poke, you know, that is they're going to let you connect to that, you know, non-Tiger interface or whatever they called their server operating system at the time, and instead shove that little blue screen of death right in your face every time you had to connect. So
yeah, it was really rubbing salt in the wound. You know, if you went through, if you actually had that problem, a recurring BSOD problem.
Yep.
There's no greater misery. However, it's not really a fair comparison to what's going on now with Apple. It's a fairly minor thing. It's fairly easy to fix, and the Microsoft blue screen of death went on for. Someone said decades, and I was like, no, that's not quite right. Then I thought about it. Well, maybe
yeah.
A decade and a half, at least.
Yeah.
At least a decade and a half.
Yeah, so. I think that's probably about right. About right, because I recall that happening with Windows 98 and on up. So
Windows, I think 95 for sure.
Yeah.
I think Windows 3.1. So it's been a... BSOD has been around for a while.
Yeah.
And back then, you kind of, you know, Windows 3.1, you kind of, oh, okay, well, computers are fairly new and all this other stuff. But then, you know, when, you know, 2009, you know, you're still getting BSODs. It's a little hard to take.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I have to confess that I don't, and I use Windows 7 almost exclusively now, and I have not seen a blue screen of death since moving to Windows 7. I've heard similarly from Windows 8 that it seems the BSOD may be a thing of the past, at least for Windows users. Now, this is not a true BSOD either. So what happens when this occurs on your Apple phone is that you'll be opening an app or dealing with an app or something along this lines, and whatever we don't know what happens, but something happens and it breaks things. The screen on your iPhone goes that shade of blue for just a second or two and then slams out and reboots you. There's not a list of, obscure tech terms or asking you, do you want to reboot or anything like that. It just goes blue and then flips you out. So, you know, it's
it doesn't give you 6 pages of memory.
Yeah,
but the problem actually occurs when people switch directly from one app to another without returning to their home screen. If they return to their home screen, the problem does not occur. So it's a relatively easy fix, and I'm sure Apple will address it very quickly and that sort of thing. But I actually did get a blue screen of death lately with a hard drive failure.
Oh, really?
So that was yeah, it was a nice bit of nostalgia. You know.
Youch. Yeah, yeah. Hard drive failures are always, always painful, too. I'm in the process right now. I'm trying to retask my older, and it is a Windows 7 machine. I did get it upgraded to Windows 7. I'm debating, though, whether to keep it on Windows 7 or swap it to Linux. I've been dual booting it into Ubuntu, and I'm going to repurpose it. Oh, my gosh. We just lost Dave again. I'm going to repurpose it as a Windows Media machine, or I'm sorry, I shouldn't say a Windows Media machine, a media machine, so that I can watch streaming video, Netflix, you know, you got Hulu on there, all the web kind of stuff, HBO Go, doing that all on the Windows machine, and then also, too, of course, using it for some of the DVDs and other things that I've got. My only concern, of course, I've got to revamp it because it's older, it hangs, it just slows down sometimes. And it makes the video viewing process a little less pleasant than it could be. And then, of course, too, the other issue with it. Oh, we got Dave back. I'm trying to reuse a machine that I've got for video play on my TV. The one issue with it is that I can't quite get over yet is the fan on this thing is just insanely loud. It sounds like a jet plane taking off in our bedroom. So we either crank the sound way up or just ignore it, I guess. I don't know, but I could go and get a new fan and that would help. I know, you know, fans are cheap, what, they're like $10 or something, but then I got to take time too and do it. So
I told you I was trying to help the seniors with their computer issues.
Yes.
And it turns out they have computers. I was like really knocked out by that. I didn't even realize that. They have a computer room that you can use and all that sort of thing. That's the good news. The bad news is that the room has tile floors and glass windows and stuff. They're Windows XP computers with, you know, and they all, there's nine of them, and it sounds like, I don't know what you have to really speak up to be heard over these things when all nine of them are.
And you're working with seniors, so speaking up is already part of the deal.
Well, that's me now. Actually, I'm getting a little, you know, I my hearing's pretty good, but I've got a little of a ringing in my ears. Mm. So there are, you know, when people mutter or speak in a certain tone, I'm having a little trouble picking them up. So. Yeah, so there's that. So we're all going, what? What? See, what was that app you said that recorded things for 5 minutes at a time?
Heard.
Put on your phone.
Heard.
Yeah, heard. Yeah, yeah. Heard. I'm going to, instead of laying out the $1,000 for a hearing aid, I'll probably just use that. You know,
hey.
Yeah.
That, you know what? That I'm going to have a little bit of free time here in the next whole week. I'm going to try. This is one thing. I've had it on my to-do list. Since I don't know when, I want to learn how to program an app for an Android phone, an iPhone, that kind of thing. I want to make an app. I just, even if it doesn't do anything, I just want to say, hey, I made an app. So I'm going to learn how to make an app. I'm gonna expose this to the world. This is probably a bad idea to expose this to the world.
This is a $1 million idea that you're sharing that you worry about.
This is it. Someone's gonna steal. I'm gonna be so mad when somebody makes $2 million off of this, and I could have done it quicker.
Okay, what is it?
Here's the deal. Everybody's got a phone. Nobody thinks twice about people walking around with an earphone, plug in with their phone, whether it be Bluetooth or whatever. Instead of getting, like you said, one of those fancy, expensive hearing aids, use your phone with Bluetooth, and the only thing it does is take audio that's coming into it at the moment and plugs it right into your ear at a higher, whatever volume you set. You set the Bluetooth volume yourself, so you make it, you can crank it up as high as you need to, and it's just a pass-through, straight audio pass-through hearing aid. I think that would be an easy introductory programming lesson for myself to learn how to use it, and could be the next big thing. You're going to see.
Think about how tweakable it could be for different levels of tone and such.
Yeah. You know, like, so one of the cool sites of the week this week, in fact, is Google Play. Now we've had that as we mentioned.
Oh, really?
That. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Google Music Play, I should say.
Don't tell anybody; it's a secret. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Google Play.
I play music. Play music. So why is this a cool site of the week again this week? I know. I was like, oh, really? Hey, Google. This is my cool site. Go to Google. Use that. It's a good one. Oh, man. No. So they did something different, though. So the big thing that's been going on, of course, with music lately on the inner tubes is that, you know, you can listen to your radio thing on the internet. So you got your Stitchers, you got your Spotify, your Pandora. Everybody's aware of all these. Now, Google Play Music, and of course, iTunes now has got its own radio function as well. I haven't had a chance to use that, so I can't really, you know, testify to its use mobile because I don't have an iPhone. So Google has said, hey, we're going to respond to the radio feature that the iTunes now has got for their mobile devices, and they've got Play Music. Now, Play Music has been around for a while, and it's been a way that you can stream audio that you own, just like you could with the iTunes mobile and with some of the other mobile Winamp and things like that.
Great way to back up your music as well.
Wonderful way to back up your music. You can play it straight from the cloud. Once you've uploaded it and they've recognized it and validated, you know, whatever they do to it, you can play it on any device because it's like it's on the cloud and they're like, yeah, you're logged in with your Google account. Boom, it's done. They've just recently added now, though, the radio feature. Not just added it. So it had been around for a while, but at a premium. You had the basic Google Play for all of the music you owned was there for free on any mobile device. But if you wanted radio, like a Pandora-style radio selection process, you had to upcharge for it. I don't know how much it was, but there was a cost per month. And me being the cheapskate that I am, that's when I dropped out of the Google Play Music thing. It's like, you're going to make me pay? You know, forget about it. I'm out of here. Now... 6 months free. You get 6 months free. So go in and check it out again. My guess is that 6 months is going to get extended. And so I'm a little trepidatious again to throw that word out there again. A little bit of trepidation for this in that I'm going to get hooked into their service. And then in 6 months, they're going to want to charge me. But I've seen this happen before with Google where they had a pay service. They switch it over to free for a certain amount of time on a beta process, and then it's just free for good. It was like Grand Central. When they bought out Grand Central, Grand Central was free, but it had some premium or freemium type features that you could pay for. When Google took them, they first extended that to everybody for a certain amount of time, and then they said, okay, we're just making a free period for everybody, and that's Google Voice now. So I see that I could see this happening again. You might want something to give a try anyways.
Yeah. Were you stumped when Google changed their page, or the interface on their page?
Oh, you mean when they how have they changed it? I don't go to their page very often.
Their original page had the links at the top for their various services.
Oh, I know what you're saying. Yes. Yeah, that is something we should probably talk about. So, yeah.
I've had a lot of questions about it from people. And to tell the truth, first time it happened to me, it was like late at night. And I was like, what happened to
Google? Where did everything go? Yeah, people that may not know or use Google that much. If you're in Google, like Gmail or Calendar, one of their apps, not their Google main page, although it applies here too to the Google page. If you're logged in your account, it used to be up until very recently that along the top row was the primary apps that people would want to access, including easy access to your calendar, Google Plus, YouTube, Maps, et cetera, the Google Drive. That disappeared. It's no longer there, so you have more space on your screen, which is a good thing. But they didn't make it real clear as to where it landed.
Now they're adding a dialog box. Now there's a dialog box that pops out. They moved it to like a little black checker square on the right upper right hand corner, right?
That's right. Depending on your background color, it could be white or whatever. But it's like a little grid tic-tac-toe board kind of thing.
Right. That's what it is. Yeah.
So, and if you click that, then what comes out is a drawer full of full of apps, and the main ones are still there. Now, my major complaint with this, and I had this complaint with the tabs on the top too, is that I never, ever, ever click through to YouTube or Google Plus. You know, it's like those are the last things I ever do. I would love to be able to arrange these and sort them in some way where I could actually use them in the way that I want to use them. You know, I use Google Calendar and Google Drive and Google Search constantly. Google Maps I use pretty frequently. All of those are available there, but you can't reorder them, and you're just forced into their. I think that's their subtle or maybe not so subtle way of trying to get more people to use Google Plus, because that's the first tab on there. So just by accident, you're going to fall into that occasionally.
I guess it's always good to change things up a little bit. When I first saw it, I thought for sure it was a homepage hijacker or something. I spent like 15 or 20 minutes making sure that, you know, I wasn't hijacked.
Yeah. I can absolutely, and now you can, like I said, you can get to that same thing from the Google main page as well. It's right there. Their Google main page has stayed as simple as it is, but it's got that little, and I think that's probably one of the reasons why they changed it to this, is that it had been, when you went to the Google search page, google.com, it had those rows of tabs on the top, and it kind of detracted from the whole, you know, plain Jane feel that they were going for, the clean look and feel to it.
Yeah. I have no complaints about the new design once I've got used to it. But I've, you know, I've had people come up to me and go, Gmail's gone from Google.
You're like, no, it's not gone. It's not gone. Well, you know, maybe we should get into some cool sites of the week. I don't know. Let me see what we got here.
You can actually find some music and play it.
Hey, there
it is.
No promises on the music front. this kind of, I don't consider that music. When we actually get to the podcast only song of the week, we'll see how that goes. So, cool sites of the week, though. Oh my gosh, I got really into books lately. I love some of the older books, the stuff that's free now, that it's out of copyright and things like this. But I'm not talking about classics. I'm talking about like the pulp fiction from the 40s and the 50s and places like that. And I love some of the old hard-boiled crime detective things. And then also, too, of course, any of the science fiction and all that that's from that era. A lot of that now is coming out of copyright, and you can download it and grab it for free quite easily. There's also too a lot of independent books that have been created and produced and that are available for download and for reading for free. There's a great one I just read recently called Blindsight. Excellent book. It's free. I don't know why the guy wrote it. He doesn't want money for it. He just wants you to read it. So you can get
love that.
Yeah. So there's two websites that I wanted to let people in on. One is called Munseys, MUNSEYS.com. Now that's also the name, I believe, of a magazine, an actual hard print magazine that used to be around. They have got just an enormous collection, like 13,000 to 16,000 or so books that are free for you to download for your e-reader, or you can read them on your computer, and you can find books by genre, by author, by category, and it's so much fun just kind of flipping through and looking for stuff. And a lot of it, especially you go to their main page, and you're going to see the focus is really on this pulp fiction from the 40s and 50s, 30s, 40s, 50s. So really, really fun stuff. Everything free. The other place that I like, now this is not focused specifically on free, but it has a lot of books that are free by these independent authors that I was talking about. So this is a really cool place to go as well. It's called Feed Books. That's F-E-E-D, like feed, and then books.com. And you can go there. And like I said, now a lot of it is not free. And the front page, when you look on it, you'll see there's, Jonathan Lethem, one of my all-time favorite authors. Dissident Gardens, that's right on there. You're not going to get that for free anywhere. You got to download that and pay for that. But there's other stuff that you can find. And again, really nicely organized. You go into the science fiction section, and you can just choose and say, you know what? I only want to see stuff that's free. And you click on that, and then boom, it brings up immediately stuff by Gregory Benford, well-known author. It's free, you know, all this stuff. Werner Vinge, After the Battle on Starship Hill. It's like a novelette by him. You know, these are famous people. Rick Yancey, and there's a lot of stuff you can get that's free on there. So those were my two main cool sites of the week that I want to make sure I cued people into this week.
What are you using for an e-reader these days, Michael?
So my main e-reader for a very long time had been actually my iPad. I recently switched back over to using the Kindle again. I had kind of forgotten how really, really good the Kindle is at presenting text. I think moving forward, I'm probably going to be more balanced between the two. I think the iPad, here's the killer app for the iPad with the Kindle reading on the iPad. At night, in bed, don't want to bother anybody. I got that brightness on the iPad cranked down to nothing. Got the brightness in the Kindle app cranked down to nothing, but I can still read it, and I don't need a big headlight, you know, that's waking everybody up. But when I'm in a plane or out elsewhere where I'm going to have ambient light, boy, that Kindle. And I've got one of those Kindle Touches, so I don't have a Kindle HD or anything. It's just a regular Kindle. That Kindle, man, it's slick. It's just a really nice experience for reading on the Kindle.
Yeah. I would always hope to find a tablet that was a good e-reader. I don't... The dedicated e-readers seem to be a notch or two above almost any tablet you could use. I've not seen the Nexus 7 or anything like that at this point, but yeah. So far that's where I'm at.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't know that we'll see a really good crossover for it. I mean, there's things that make tablets good that are that make using them for e-readers difficult. You know, the glossy screen, it's terrible when you're out in the sunlight, you know, just like with your phone. You know, the size of it, you want a bigger tablet in general than you would want for an e-reader, and that also makes it tough. There's things like that that are going to make tablets tough. By the same token, with the e-reader, the one really nice thing with the e-reader, of course, is that paper-like screen, you know, where they really have worked hard to emulate the look of paper as much as possible. Not necessarily in the, just in the way that it reflects light or doesn't reflect light, and the way that it's easy on your eyes, much more so than a backlit screen is. Like I said, I hadn't touched my Kindle in ages and ages because of the iPad, and recently I did, and I gotta say I like it, and I'm gonna continue using it. And I feel kind of bad that I hadn't been using it for quite some time. Now, and of course, with the Kindle application, shouts out to them, I can flip back and forth between the devices with no loss in where I'm at. There's no difference in what I'm working on. It'll just catch right up to my last read statement and things. They've also improved the app so that there's a lot of new things along with it. One is that's really cool is it'll tell you, based upon your reading speed, that it's estimated from how fast you turn pages or not, how long it's going to take you to finish the chapter or the book. So when someone asks you how long you got till you're done with that chapter, you can let them know. You can say, let me check. You know, 4 minutes.
Well, you gotta like that. And speaking of, iPad was your new toy. That's why you didn't touch the Kindle for so long.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
You know, you get once you get hooked into a new toy, it's hard to pull your eyes away from it. And my new toy, it's not really a physical toy, but you're talking about cool sites. My cool program for the week would be Music Bee. I just discovered Music Bee. Have you ever used that at all?
No. Music Bee, I have not.
You can find it at mediafire.com. It's a free download. It's similar to iTunes. It's a music database and player. But one thing, it's got a great feature that makes it easy to fix the tags on your MP3s.
Okay.
Yes, I haven't found I don't know if there's actual automation for it, but this is one of those things that you can't really automate. You actually, to make sure that the tags are right, they've got the digital signatures online and all that sort of thing, and they look at the file name and. But you just have to listen to the song sometimes. Just make sure that it's the right tag for that song.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Hey, you know, another one for identifying music, which is kind of fun to play with. Now, I was lucky. I jumped in when this was free. So your mileage may vary. I don't know what the real cost of this thing is, but there's a little app called Shazam that you can put on your Android. I think they have it for iPhones as well. And what you do is you're listening to some music, you hear something, you run the Shazam app, it immediately listens and tells you what music you're listening to and gives you the name of the artist and all the other good stuff. And of course, links to where you can go buy it if you want to go buy it now. I've had some fun with that. That's, you know, there hasn't really been a situation where I'm like, oh, I got to know what that song is. You know, tell me. Usually I've been using it just because it's like, oh, look at this. This is so cool. But and see how correct it is. But I think for those types of situations, it's kind of a useful thing.
Sounds great. In fact, the last time you recommended it, I think I downloaded it. I don't know that I've used it, though.
Yeah, it's one of those apps where it's like when you need it, it's really great to have it. But like the other 99.9999% of your life, you never you just don't think about it, you know?
That's the other thing, how good are you about getting apps off your phone or your computer or your tablet or whatever? You put an app on and you just forget it. You know, if you don't use it, it just lays there. It's kind of a status symbol to have lots of apps on you. It makes you look like you're smart or.
Yeah, you know, the problem is though, there's some apps that take up so much space, and I'm looking at you, Infinity Blade, and Infinity Blade 2, that you have to get rid of them because you want to put other stuff on. I also too, this is one of the reasons I really do like the Android interface. Seems to me, and I know Apple people are going to scream and jump up and down and say their interface is great too. I've got an iPad and I've got my Android phone. I like the interface with the Android phone where I can bury things in folders easier. I can create little subgroupings and groupings and things like this, and I can find things easier too when I'm looking for them, it seems, than on the iPad. So with the iPad, I'm much more rigorous and aggressive about removing those apps that I don't use than I am on the Android. Like I said, though, you know, there's some apps, and I, no lie, Infinity Blade 2, I think was like some just ridiculous, like 4 gig or something of space to run this game. It's a gorgeous game. It was, I don't know if it's still free, but it was free on the iTunes store. It's beautiful, and it's a fighting game. You run around and you hack and you slash and you get new swords and things like this. It's beautiful. The new Infinity Blade 3 has just come out. It's supposed to be even better. I can't get it for free yet, so I haven't downloaded it. But but again,
I've got a game recommendation. Great Big War Game.
What's
it's
that?
Not free. It's not a lot of money. It's military strategy game, sort of like Command and Conquer.
Okay.
It's not a lot of money compared to like a box game or anything like that, and it's a big time waster.
Now, what is it? What is it called?
What's that?
Oh, what is it called?
Great Big War Game. The first one was called Great Little War Game.
Oh, okay.
And that's an Android app and such. This is the second generation of that game.
Okay, Great Big War Game. I love it. Now, my son, Justin, who's sitting out in the green room here and did not want to come in and talk about his game, he's got a new app, too, that he is loving. I'm gonna hold off to recommend it because I don't remember the name of it, but it's, oh, wait, no, he's going to come in. He's going to talk to us. Hold on, everybody. Here comes Justin.
Uh-oh.
Justin's going to come in here. And so Justin, let's set up this microphone here for you. Let's see if we can get this working. Let's see which one we're on.
You're listening to WRLR, Round Lake Heights, Illinois.
There we go. Okay, we got him on here. So, Justin, what is the name of this app that you got?
It's called Plague Incorporated.
Plague Incorporated. Now, this sounds like a dangerous app. It sounds like an evil thing, but it's...
And don't worry, it's not going to hack into your phones or anything.
Actually, well, what is it about? What does this app do?
It's about you start as a type of sickness, bacteria or virus, or you try to unlock different things. Mm-hmm. And when you play it, you start out by infecting one person, and the goal is to kill the entire human race.
What? Wait a second. I didn't know we were doing this.
And you evolve your virus by getting DNA points by infecting and killing more humans.
Wow. But it sounds like you're learning something at least related to science.
Sort of.
Kind
of,
yeah.
And it's...
I'm trying to justify this in my mind, as you can tell. trying to pretend I'm actually a good dad.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, that sounds pretty cool. And you enjoy it? You think it's would you give it a thumbs up? I know it's not a free app, but you give it a thumbs up and say it's worth the money?
Yeah, it's $1, which I think is an absolutely unbelievably cheap price, because I think that's the best game that I've ever had on my iPod.
Whoa. Now that, and Justin has had a fair number of games on his iPod, so that is actually saying something right there. So,
yeah.
Cool, and it's called Plague Incorporated, is that it?
Yes, and it's great for all ages, because there's a story mode where you try and unlock all the different types of sicknesses, or you can just play a quick game, and if you're like a 13-year-old, then there's a zombie mode.
Ah. Now, would you say it's good for all ages because or in spite of the fact that you're killing the entirety of the human race?
I know that this defies all logic, but I'd say both.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, hey, you know what? Unfortunately, I got to pull it to a close here, but thanks, Justin. That is Justin, my son, who...
Great job, Justin.
And he's a video game expert. He definitely knows a lot about this stuff, and he's very good with his iPod, and obviously also incredibly smart and knows a lot about science, too. So I think he's actually learning stuff from this that he may not even realize. That's how I'm justifying it.
I doubt that.
Yeah, no... Shh, I'm turning off the mic. Well, thank you, Justin. Well, that'll do our that'll do our cool sites and cool apps of the day, and all that. You have been listening to Tech Talk on WRLR 98.3 FM. I'm going to run us out first with some spots, but then I'm also going to leave you with the podcast only song of the week. I can't believe I just heard about this recently. It's by Elvis. But Elvis with a Y. It's called The Fox. Now, this is appropriate for all ages. It's about the sound that animals make. So,
cool. See you guys next time.
All right. Thank you so much, Dave. Great talking to you, and we'll catch up with you next Saturday.
Dog goes woof, cat goes meow, bird goes tweet, and mouse goes squeak. Cow goes moo, frog goes crow, and the elephant goes toot. Ducks say quack, and fish go blub, and the seal goes ow, ow, ow. But there's one sound that no one knows. What does the fox say? Chasing mice and digging holes, tiny paws up the hill. Suddenly you're standing still. Your fur is red, so beautiful, like an angel in disguise. But if you meet a friendly horse, will you communicate by more? How will you speak to that?